often do you get to speak to someone who you don't know and you've never met, but the information that they share online and in books and articles has visibly improved your health? This happened to me with Dr. Isabella Wentz, the thyroid pharmacist. She shares her information through her website, her books, her articles, and she's trained in functional medicine as well as being a world-renowned pharmacist. Dr. Wentz doesn't just share learned information, she shares lived information because she has walked this path with us. Now, if you've got any thyroid issues, you'll instantly find that Dr. Wentz has got information that will be useful. If you know someone who does, again, there's a lot that you might pick up that you didn't know. But also, if you're just looking to keep yourself in the best condition that you can, no one's aiming for perfection, then it might be useful to listen to this podcast because there are lots of ways that we can look after the thyroid just in our day-to-day choices. Dr. Wentz is very busy, so I'd like to thank her once again for taking the time to chat. As always, I learn so much when I speak to these people. It's so fascinating to speak to experts in their field. And Dr. Wentz really did enlighten me with what we can do to look after ourselves and just the simple things that we should look out for to keep that thyroid functioning as best as it can. Remember though, we always need to speak to our own medical professionals. So take the advice, listen to your doctor and enjoy the podcast. So Dr. Wentz, thank you so much for coming on to the podcast.
Thank you so much for having me, Elaine. It's such a joy and pleasure to be here with you.
Well, your knowledge is second to none. And what I really appreciate about you is that when it comes to the thyroid, you're not just talking about it as a doctor, as a pharmacist, you're talking about it as a patient. It's something that's just, it's that extra level. Do you find that? Do people say to you that because you've walked the path, it means a bit more when you give that advice?
I think it absolutely does. And everything that I write about in my books and my website, I actually try it myself. So I'm never the person that says, go on this diet or do this type of exercise or take this supplement, unless I've personally used it or tried it. And I have had a lot of things that I tried that don't work out. Mm-hmm. And I talk about those as well. Like there are some controversial topics in the thyroid world, and some practitioners will say, okay, you need to take high doses of iodine for thyroid health. And they maybe don't, they're not thyroid patients, right? Mm-hmm. And I'm like, well, actually, I've tried that and this is what happens. And I've seen other people with it. So I feel like it does bring that extra because I've been there and I've gone through it. And I know how frustrating it is too, to get the runaround or just get really basic information that doesn't really do anything for you, right? Or get information that's incorrect or potentially harmful. So I'm very mindful of that. And I'm glad that people can see that too.
And you're very open. You show people images of when you didn't feel good versus when you do feel good. You are open to speaking with people. You've got your interaction on your social media. That's not something that a lot of people offer, whether they're an expert or even if they're writing blogs or doing videos. Sometimes they choose to have that limit where they say, I'll provide you information and I'll do everything I can, but I can't be too available. But you really do go out of your way to write in-depth articles that really go into detail, quite personal detail of symptoms that you had that, again, other people might say, I'm not going to share that, I don't want to share that. But you've also got Facebook. You do really make sure that where possible, you take the time to interact. So again, is that because of your job, your day job, that you know it's important to have that communication?
I think definitely being a pharmacist for a while and working in that industry has helped me to be able to interact with people and to really meet them where they are and try to present things in a approachable, perhaps a bite-sized format. And pharmacists have always been regarded as like the most approachable healthcare professionals. And then, of course, I've been there as a patient too. So I've written in to people who had newsletter emails and Facebook posts, and I have asked questions. And I know it meant so much to me on my own healing journey when somebody would answer my questions. So I do try to make sure that people's questions go answered as much as I can. And obviously, you know, I can't be online 24/7, but I do try to make sure everybody gets a response, whether they email me, whether they post on social media, or, you know, it might take a few weeks, but yeah, I do really try to do that because I know how important it is.
And you've got your latest book out. Is that something, again, when you hear common questions coming back to you, or you see misinformation? And sometimes I find the misinformation can be, sometimes it was from my NHS doctor here in the UK with the best of intentions. The information wasn't really accurate for Hashimoto's. So you must find then that when you're creating the next book and you're writing the articles, do you feel it's important to get that the current information, the stuff that's working out there for us all? Again, it's not about taking away from, like over here, NHS or any other sort of, I always say traditional approach, but what I mean is a lot of it can be a little bit old-fashioned, or sometimes it doesn't even take into account certain things that we now know through people like yourself will affect our thyroids. When you're creating the books, do you feel it's important to try and cover as much of the information that you know that's working at this point in time, what we're learning? Is that really key, just to get as much of that out there?
Absolutely. When typically I write my articles or books, it's generally something that has happened to me personally, a client has asked about, a family member has asked about, or perhaps some of my readers are asking about, and they're really looking for those resources and that information where, you know, something about oxalates. People, there's a lot of misinformation about oxalates and what they actually do, or histamines, and they think they have to eat a food that's devoid of histamines for the rest of their lives. So I really try to break down the science, and I look for protocols, and I look for, you know, either in myself or people that I've worked with. Then I just try to find out what really, really works. And then I'll test things out with some clients, and then I'll publish an article about it. And, you know, my latest book came out of a frustration with people. I would talk about the adrenals and thyroid health, like their importance. And then people would kind of hear part of the message, and they'd ask their doctor for testing, and their doctor would test them for Addison's. And then I'd be like, well, that's not what I meant. You actually need to do a different kind of test. And so then they would maybe do the test, but then they wouldn't get the right kind of recommendations. So I really wanted to get the information that works to people. And I'm fortunate that I have a lot of experience because of people that work with me in my online community, where I do a lot of outcomes research with them too, where I'll say, okay, out of the 20 things that I recommended, which ones like worked, and which ones did you try and you were like, that was just pointless? And then I'll kind of, you know, summarize that, because there's so many things out there, right, that could work or sound good in theory. But I really try to look at, okay, you know what, this is something that works really well for the majority of people that I've worked with. So there's a good chance, if you are somebody with a thyroid issue, with Hashimoto's, struggling with a symptom, that this is going to work for you. So let me share that. Like, you know, yes, I don't like eating better and exercising, like, it's such general. And what does that actually mean? So I did try to break it down and be specific.
And I think you really do. You are, that's the word, you're specific, but in a way that's really easy to understand. Sometimes specifics can be a bit overwhelming or very technical, but it's very easy to understand. And you mentioned supplements. That was a big eye-opener for me, because quite often you still have that general idea splits down the middle, the people that believe in them and the people that think it's a waste of money. And when people think that supplements are a waste of money, it's quite hard to get them to see. But then someone like myself, who's been on a thyroid journey, mine is reasonably recent, it's about 4 years, so that's quite recent, to see your antibodies coming down when you say, though, you're trying different protocols, maybe something might do a bit and then it stops. Maybe something didn't really do much at all, but you tried it. But you can argue when you see the differences and you see things improving. And I do think supplements have so much to do with that. So again, was it really important, being a pharmacist and having all your knowledge, to create your supplements and to make sure that you had as wide a range as possible? Because as you say, you can't have everything and everything won't work. So you are giving people the knowledge and the ability to pick and choose.
You know, absolutely. I know when I was going through pharmacy school, I had this class and it was focused on integrative therapies. And the teacher kind of reviewed, the professor reviewed a few different therapies, and he said, this doesn't work, this doesn't work, this doesn't work. And I kind of got this impression that nothing worked. And, you know, and it's partially true. There are some supplements that just don't work. They really don't do anything for you. There's supplements that have contamination in them and they're potentially toxic. There are supplements that have, you know, something else completely in them than what the label says, or too much or not enough of the actual ingredient that's supposed to work. And so it's absolutely true that supplements may not work. So one big thing for me as a pharmacist that was important was finding the supplements that do work. And I came across, there are professional grade supplement companies. They'll do actually third-party testing, and they'll utilize similar, not the same, but similar kind of testing and quality processes that pharmaceutical companies do. And so I was very impressed with that, because I had tried various things from, you know, that you could find in the United States at like inexpensive stores or wholesale stores, like we have a Walmart or some other mm-hmm. drugstore. I would be like, this doesn't really do anything for me, right? And then I would start using some of the high quality supplements. And then you have to know which ones to use for yourself, right? So let's say you are low in a B12 vitamin, then you need to use a B12 supplement, and you want a high quality one. And you also want one that you can dose under your tongue, because if you just swallow it in a pill, in majority of the cases, it's not going to get absorbed properly, because a lot of the people have specific reasons why they're not absorbing the B12 vitamin. So there's different nuances like that about supplements. So I always try to educate people about utilizing high quality supplements. When a person, how do you know that you might benefit from this particular supplement? What does it actually do? And I've gone through, you know, a lot of different questions I used to get. Does this supplement work? Does this supplement work? And I've tried a lot of them, you know, to the point where I'm like, I don't have this symptom, so I don't really know if it works for this symptom.
Yeah.
But I've also created a lot of a supplement line as well, just to give people an extra option for a supplement line that they can utilize. And I also have recommendations for high quality supplement lines. And I do try to do, you know, United States resources, and I try to do UK resources and international resources, just because every country can be so different with what you can have access to.
And I love the name Rootcology. It's such a good name too. It says what you need it to say, and it's also really easy to remember. And don't you think sometimes the most tricky thing can be hearing from someone about a great thing and then saying, I can't remember the name, but I know that I need to try it. And then you're trying to find, if it was an Instagram live, you're trying to skip through to remember whereabouts they said it. And you're like, I can't remember. Rootcology is such a good name. It's so easy to remember.
Thank you so much. I'll have to let my husband know he came up with it.
Oh, he came up with it. Yep, he can get the credit then. And do you think, for people like myself, I used to think that thyroid was something that older people suffered with, because in my life it was only older people that I heard. They'd be like, oh, your gran's friend, it's her thyroid, or somebody, it's their thyroid. And it was always older people, so it didn't register. And then when you do get affected, for most people it tends to be, I would say, I'm hearing it 30s, 40s, but I know that's maybe an average because it'll happen to anyone. But for me, I tend to find it's round about the 30s and the 40s that maybe it's for women in particular, hormones. You know more than me, but I think I was a classic case of hormones. But don't you think, in the way that they educate us about the brain and to look after your skin and to look for changes in your skin and to think about your stomach and the gut health, isn't it strange that we don't really know anything about our thyroid and we grow up pretty much ignoring it, even though it's such an important part of our bodies? And yet it does everything. It's so essential, but we just sort of, we skip past it. We don't really talk about it. Children don't really hear much about it unless it's a reason to. Do you think it's a shame that we don't have a little bit more education and a spotlight on such an important part of our body?
I absolutely think it's a shame. And just like you, in pharmacy school, I was taught that this was primarily a condition that affected older women, right? And as we age, we're more likely to have a slowdown of hormonal function, including thyroid. That was kind of the message that I got.
Yeah.
And really, thyroid wasn't on my radar. I probably started having thyroid symptoms, you know, pregnancy, puberty, and perimenopause are some of the times where it's most common to have a thyroid issue. Hormones are thought to play a role in triggering and shifting that antibody balance, where I probably started having symptoms as a teenager, right? Around the time I was going through puberty. And the really sad thing is a lot of kids, their thyroid symptoms might be poor growth. They might have bad grades. They might have anxiety or mental health issues, depression, but it may not get recognized, you know, in your teens or in your 20s. That's not necessarily on the radar. Some people might gain weight. That might be common, but that's usually a presentation that's more associated with really advanced stages of hypothyroidism, certain insulin dysregulations, and as well as older women. And so then in our 20s and 30s, a lot of women might have multiple miscarriage. They might have fertility issue. And the thyroid isn't tested before a woman gets pregnant or attempts pregnancy. And I've just had so many heartbreaking stories of women who said, I just kept having miscarriages. I was never able to get pregnant. Finally got diagnosed with a thyroid issue, you know, in their 50s. And they had probably been living with it for 20 years. They look back and they're like, man, I was a moody teenager. I was shorter than all of my siblings. And, you know, then I had these miscarriages, and it's just so heartbreaking. So I personally believe that kids should be screened.
Yeah.
I believe that every woman of childbearing age should be screened. Every year, this should be part of your screen, and not just the basic test, because I will tell you, even when I was having a lot of the symptoms like the fatigue, and I was going into the doctors and saying, I'm so tired, I'm just way more tired than I should be. They did test my thyroid, but they didn't do the right test. So finally, a doctor that was an allergist immunologist for some of these other symptoms I was having, I was going to, you know, this doctor for this, this doctor for this, this doctor for that. She tested my thyroid antibodies, which is an early indication of thyroid disease, and they were sky high. And at that point, about a year later, my thyroid function began to decline to the point where I needed medication. So it's something that, had it been discovered 10 years prior, 15 years prior, then I wouldn't have maybe had some of those mood issues as a teenager. Maybe I would have made life a little easier for my parents, right?
All the parents now will be saying, we need to test the teenagers. But what you're saying makes so much sense, because now I'm thinking, well, I've had low iron since my teens. I clicked later on that the low iron must have tied in with anxiety, but you don't know that because no one tells you. And it's through people like yourself that you start to discover that ties in with that. But I was always treated for the two things individually, and it wasn't very successful. And then you realize that if someone had joined the dots, it could have been, I probably did have things like yourself underlying. I bet most of us do, don't we? When we are finally diagnosed, we could like count it backwards and it would probably go way, way further than you would think.
Oh my gosh, absolutely. And it just really breaks my heart. So typically, you know, you have heavy periods, and that could be related to your thyroid, right? And so then you end up losing a lot of iron and you become iron deficient. That can lead to symptoms like depression, anxiety, and it's this vicious cycle. And if you're a young woman in your formative years, you end up thinking that you're lazy, crazy, moody. You end up, I guess, having this definition of who you are as a person. Maybe you feel like you're a low achiever, or, you know, maybe you're just, oh, maybe I'm just not meant to play sports. I'm just not meant to be energetic. But it's like, this is something out of balance in your body. We can just bring it back into balance. We bring your hormones into balance, right? And you feel better. You don't have those menstrual cramps, and maybe you can play sports more. You get more iron and maybe you're a happier person. You get more thyroid hormone and you feel more balanced and energized. And it's just, it, you know, really does break my heart, and why I haven't retired, right? After writing a few books, I'm so passionate about getting the message out there and to, you know, older women, younger women, children, parents, about just the importance of like what this little gland can do in just the whole body, how you can help be your best self by healing, right?
Do you think that's why you couldn't walk away even if you wanted to? Can you see that your message is reaching people? Do you get the feedback that tells you my books are actually changing lives? My articles and the website, I can see that these people need this help. Is it really evident to you that you are unable just to walk away from us just now because we need the help?
Absolutely. I definitely want to get out there and help people. And when I was, of course, a new mom, this was very tricky because I just really wanted to be with my son. At the same time, now that he's in school, I have a little bit more time for that, a little bit more bandwidth where I feel I really want to help people take charge of their own health and get the message out there. I don't always, you know, I don't know how to use TikTok or any of these other new things, but I definitely want to make sure that people know, because it's so important to realize that they have these symptoms and that this is not you. This is something being out of balance, and you can absolutely get it back into balance and feel like the best version of yourself.
And I think that's the perfect place where I just thought we could speak about a few things just for anyone. As we were just saying, they might think everything's brilliant and they feel great, but then there'll be however, if you like, they'll say, I feel fine. I've got a lot of energy. I do this, I do that. However, I get really tired very easily. I have heavy periods. It could be maybe, again, gut issues. It could be so many different things, whatever gender you may be. And there's quite a few things that you've taught me through your articles. And I thought we could just cover a few so that if anyone's listening and they haven't even registered that maybe it could be worth doing a thyroid test just to see where they're at. Water, that was a real eye-opener to me, because we're always told in the UK we've got excellent water. I'm up in Scotland. We're always told here our water is the best in the world, and people will take our water from the tap and say, your water tastes amazing. But it's not a good idea, really, to just drink water straight from the tap, as I've discovered, no matter where you're from. So why do you think that filtering makes such a difference? I now know why. But why do you think it's, even if you think your water's phenomenal, it's a good idea just to give it a filter, put it through some sort of system?
I think definitely in countries that add fluoride to the water supply, this can be very relevant, because fluoride, depending on the dose, can act as a thyroid suppressant. And very interestingly, studies were done, I believe actually in the UK, looking at the rates of fluoride in the water versus the rates of thyroid in that community, thyroid issues. And the communities that had higher rates of fluoride in the water also had higher rates of thyroid issues. Now it's not, you know, as correlation doesn't always equal causation, but there's also, interestingly, fluoride used to be used as a thyroid suppressing agent in higher doses. And if you're doing fluoride toothpaste and fluoride treatments and fluoridated water, and some of your maybe baked goods are using that, you can kind of get to the threshold where it could interfere with thyroid function if you're sensitive, right? If you're already kind of borderline, having thyroid dysfunction, this could be one of the things that can contribute to that load. And then other things that I, you know, there's other kind of pollutants depending on what area that you live in. So there are companies that I utilize that will allow you to test your water, and they'll let you know what contaminants you have. And then I've worked with a few different filter companies. This is like always like my husband's project, right? I'll be like, he has to test the water, install the filter, and do a before and after test. And it will make a difference, because there are certain contaminants that can be potentially toxic. You hear about, you know, like antidepressants or different medications that can get into certain communities' water supply. And I'm like, I don't want that. I don't need that in my water. Right?
I know, that's it. I'm trying to balance my hormones. I don't want anything extra in it. Thank you very much. That you hear all these stories and it does make a lot of sense. And the other thing that I thought, so toothpaste and mouthwash also comes into fluoride. So I made the change there. And it's an easy change to make. Once you find a brand that works for you, it's fine. And again, thank goodness for the internet, because I do wonder before we Googled things where we would have started if we needed to look locally for products. But because we can go online now, it's so easy. I found it so interesting about the products that you might use, your makeup, your body care, your skincare, your perfume. You don't really think about maybe any ingredients that might just be interacting. So I've tried to simplify products and go organic where possible. So do you also think if you are using an excessive amount of skincare, hair care, perfumes, do you think that can start to have an effect if you don't know what's in them?
Absolutely. So having estrogen dominance or too much estrogen in the body is a known thyroid trigger. And a lot of these chemicals can have estrogen mimicking properties, and they can have just hormone disrupting properties. And when, you know, we think about how many women have thyroid disease compared to men, we're looking at 5 to 8 women for every man that's diagnosed. And you think about what are the things that contribute, and it's like, could it be the 27 personal care products that we use per day compared to, you know, a man that might use 2 or 3? And so it really does add up from a pharmacologist's perspective. I used to make medications and even sometimes supplements that were applied topically, so on the skin, because the skin area does absorb medications, chemicals, if you put it in the right agent. They're known as lipophilic agents that travel through our fat and get into our bloodstream. And a lot of toxins are lipophilic. So whatever is, you know, whatever lotion you're putting on, whatever thing you're putting on, that can have a lot of potential to get into your circulation and bloodstream. I personally, you know, I wouldn't have believed it if it didn't happen to me, but I was using this new lip tint, lip gloss, and I was applying it all of the time. And all of a sudden I started getting kinds of symptoms. I didn't initially tie it together, but I did some testing for myself and I found I had high levels of arsenic in my system. And I was like, what is somebody trying to poison me? What is happening? But I ended up kind of doing a little bit of investigative work, and I found a report about the toxins that are found in makeup. And this particular report reviewed the specific product that I used, and that product had like 20 times the amount of allowable arsenic in it. And it was something that I was applying all of the time. You know, your lips are these mucous membranes that absorb things really, really well that get into your circulation. And your liver doesn't even, whenever you absorb things through your mucous membranes or topically, your liver doesn't have a pass at them. There's this first pass effect in pharmacology where like your liver, you take something in orally and your liver can kind of break it down right away and kind of detoxify it, where with topical and sublingual and, you know, that kind of application, you don't get that benefit. So you're basically giving yourself a really high dose of toxins. And so I'm very mindful of what I put on my skin these days. Yeah. I don't have makeup on right now. I tend to be a bit of a minimalist when I every now and then I'll go on a date night with my husband or something, and I do use all natural makeup. And I look at the EWG Environmental Working Group. They have a wonderful website. You can check and you can put in your product name, and then they'll let you know how they rate it, whether that's low toxicity or high toxicity. And I go through that every now and then too, even with everything that I'm using, just to make sure things can change, formulations can change too.
That's very helpful. And you're a good advert for not wearing makeup, because I'd have scared you today if I hadn't have worn makeup. So yeah, it suits you. You look really good. And what you said about the website too, I like that. And it's a shame, but it's the world that we live in, that there'll be people that talk about skincare and makeup and they'll discredit things where that they'll say that's nonsense. You can't have anything on the market that won't do you damage. And I'll watch people and they'll say, no, if it's for sale, it's safe. If you can put it on your skin, then it's been thoroughly tested. That's where I think you have to decide for yourself, don't you? Do you want to, like for myself, do you want to try and achieve this balance that you're going for me, the thyroid issue. And I do believe that there are ingredients that aren't going to do me any good. And I do believe that an excessive amount of products is unnecessary. And it's good for saving money, because it's very easy to get sucked into that world of designer perfumes and expensive makeup brands. And when you see the other side, which is keep it simple, get the good quality stuff that's got the good ingredients, it saves you so much money.
It really does save a lot of money. I have here, this is my perfume. It's like geranium essential oil.
Love geranium.
It smells lovely, and it doesn't have a lot of contaminants and toxins, where I look through some of my favorite perfumes that were $60, $80, right? $100 sometimes. And I look through them on the environmental working group, and I was like, oh, this is such a high rating. How does it, you know, how do you, you know, you just don't really want to be putting that. And a lot of women, we put it on, you know, on behind our ears or on our neck. And that's just like, that's just right where your thyroid is. And I feel like there's cleaner alternatives, even if you love makeup and want to wear it all the time. There are just cleaner products, and it's an investment, and it may take some time for you to find the ones that, you know, you may not like the ones I like or Elaine likes, but like you, it takes a little bit of time, but it's worth investing in yourself. And just, you know, trust me, I'm a pharmacist. So yes, tiny, tiny doses of substance can make a big difference, especially if they are applied topically to your skin. It's, you know, it's the basis of pharmacology. It's like we make creams for topical application to get all kinds of drugs into your system that way.
Yeah. And who are you going to listen to, a pharmacist or someone that's telling you about the latest skincare products? I know who I'm going to listen to. So that's why, again, following your advice, definitely keep it nice and simple and use the right ingredients. I couldn't agree more. And then the final one is too big a topic to go in depth, but food, you have got these brilliant, really easy to follow little graphics, and you make it so easy in these graphics to think about swapping something out for something else if you're just getting started and you don't know where to look, what can I have, what should I not have. Was it important to you? Because food is, again, you could probably talk on multiple podcasts about the subject of food when it's the thyroid. Was it important to you to have these graphics so that we could refer to them if we just needed to be guided about something or to know an easy swap?
Absolutely. I feel like people have such an important relationship with food, and sometimes it can be an emotional one where, man, this is just my favorite thing ever. It brings me so much comfort and joy. And especially if you're already not feeling good and you're not getting, you know, you're not feeling happy most of the time, or you're not feeling energetic, you use food for comfort, right? And so a lot of times people will say, oh, but I would do it, but I just really love bread, or I just really love my yogurt or whatnot. So I really wanted to create some easy swaps or just some easy comfort foods. Because I didn't believe that food could be so powerful, again, until I tried it myself. I had acid reflux, irritable bowel syndrome, carpal tunnel syndrome, a whole bunch of other symptoms. But I ended up with food sensitivity testing that showed I was gluten and dairy sensitive. And I decided to eliminate the foods just to show that, like, it wouldn't work, right? I was like, I'm just going to do it. And then I'm going to prove that it doesn't work. It makes no sense. And then within 3 days, I had this awful bloating that went away within 3 days. I was like, you know, doing Pilates and all this exercise. And I was like, why is my stomach always look like I'm, you know, a little bit pregnant? Mm-hmm. And then I was like, oh my gosh, I like abs. Where did these come from? And then I had constant like diarrhea, mm-hmm. and that came up. I had acid reflux I needed to take like 4 different medications for, and it was barely controlled. Within 3 days, that was completely gone. And I was like, oh, wait a minute. I don't have to reach for like the Tums, my acid suppressing tablets right now. Like, what is happening? And the other thing is my stomach didn't hurt after eating. And I thought everybody's stomach hurt after eating. Like, I thought that was just normal. Like, I thought that was the digestive process. And so it was just incredible with 3 days that was what it took to get rid of those symptoms. And then with some time, the carpal tunnel actually went away with being dairy free. So I really encourage people to, just try getting off of a few inflammatory foods and use some replacements if you need to, if that's what kind of gets you over the hump. My long-term plan for people is to really find the communication between their bodies and the foods that they're eating, and really eating mindfully and really understanding what makes them feel good and what doesn't, and find that balance for themselves. And I don't like to have people on like long-term elimination diets for years or anything like that. It's usually a couple of months, and then you start working also on your gut health so that you can start introducing more of the foods back. For a lot of people, those two foods can be really, really problematic. I would say 80 to 90% of people that I've worked with, that I've talked to, that have corresponded with me, they're going to see those two foods being a big game changer when they eliminate them for symptoms and even thyroid antibodies.
And you can add me to that list. I am the perfect example of all those people too. And it was so effective. So that's why I wanted to make sure that if anyone already follows you, that I'm so glad we had the chance to chat. If anyone is unaware and they've got symptoms and they've been struggling, that they've now discovered that you're there with this huge website of knowledge and articles and recipes and links to your books, and you've got videos too, you've got your online programs. There's so much, that so many different ways that people can access your help. And also, if someone's listening and they haven't thought about thyroid issues, and maybe a few things are starting to click into place and it might be worth testing. So thank you so much for talking to me. It's been a real pleasure. And it's one of those things, again, where I can tick off the list, because I can honestly say, when you help someone, we've never met before, but you've helped me so much. And I am a fan, because you've helped me get from a place where I was starting thinking, what do I do, to where I am now, where I am much, much better. Still would love to aim for remission. That's a goal. We're getting there. But again, another thing you've told us is, don't become obsessed. So as long as you feel better and you feel well, then we're doing good.
Progress, not perfection, right? So such an honor to be a part of your healing journey. And just what a delight for me to hear that. It's sometimes it's, it's challenging to do spend a lot of time writing, and a lot of times people are saying like, why are your articles so long? Why do you do this? And so it's really great feedback. I really, really appreciate it. It's such an honor to be a part of your healing journey. And yes, it actually does work when you take charge of your health and you figure out what can be triggering you, right? So there's a lot of benefit you can see when you take charge of your health. And congratulations to you for being brave enough to change things, right? Because I know it's not something you might hear from your doctor and from hearing from society. We're just kind of expected to do what everybody else does, right? And it's like, but so many people have thyroid disease. Like, you want the same results as everybody else has, then keep doing it. If you want different results, you need to change things up.
Well, thank you. And your website, if you want to tell everyone so that they can go and access so much of your information.
It's thyroidpharmacist.com, and I have weekly articles that come out. So I have a newsletter that can give you access to those articles. You just have to sign up for that. And then I have a Facebook page. And then I also have a Instagram page, Isabella Wentz PharmD. So I'm usually there. I'm posting videos, and I might start doing some live videos and where I answer people's questions. So be sure to come in and say hello. And would love to hopefully help you on your next step in your healing journey.
Oh, thank you. And I hope you get at least a little bit of a break before the end of the year, because you're pretty busy by the sounds of it.
It's good busy. And I have a beautiful 5-year-old son. So I just love my time with him, and I love helping people. So these are two of my big passions, is helping people take charge of their own health so they could feel really good and do the things that they love to do, right?
Oh, well, thank you, Dr. Wentz. It's been a pleasure.
Thank you so much, Elaine. It's such a pleasure to be here with you.